Beyond your wildest dreams, better than the best expectations, we have hope. Only Father, we thank you that you give us a good hope, as per Jeremiah 29 verse 11, a good hope for a good future. And so we expect the best because we know that our loving Heavenly Father has good plans for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a good future. And so when life gets hard, I pray that you'll remind us of the goodness of your character, the beauty in your word, and the hope that we have that you will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what, in Jesus Christ's name. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Ephesians 3, verse 20 to 21, TPT. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ, and all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. Amen. The Bible was not written in chapters and verses. It was written as documents and letters. One letter that you write to a friend, you don't divide it into chapters and give it numbers. But because there are so many truths and facts that we need to learn in the Bible, it is convenient to be able to find a particular scripture. And instead of saying it's on page 100, we say it is a particular book. It's like the book of Matthew, and it's chapter 9, and it's verse 28, or whatever the scripture reference is. Obviously, the books in the Bible are made up from different documents that were in existence in the olden days, and that's why you've got the different letters, the Gospels, the prophets, the history books, and then the praise and wisdom books. I can't remember what they're called, but they're like Psalms and Proverbs and those kinds of things. History books being Genesis to Kings and Chronicles, and includes things like Ruth and Esther, and then the minor and major prophets, and so on. So our scripture reading for today consists of two verses, which is a part of a chapter, part of a book, which is actually a letter written all those years ago. Earlier in chapter 3, it speaks about Paul being a prisoner for the sake of the Gentiles, being the non-Jews, which includes a lot of us listening to this message. And mentions in verse 5 that there was a mystery, a divine mystery, until the time of the early church, until the time of Jesus walking as a human being on planet Earth. And that mystery was revealed slowly but surely as Jesus' ministry developed. There were times when Jesus asked people not to tell everybody about him. One such instance was Mark 5 verse 43. That was after healing Jairus' daughter. Well, after raising her from the dead. Read as follows. Jesus had them bring her something to eat, and he repeatedly cautioned them that they were to tell no one about what had happened. And again, after healing a leprous man, Jesus says the following in Luke 5, 13 to 14. Jesus reached out and touched him and said, "Of course I am willing to heal you, and now you will be healed." Instantly the leprous sores were healed, and his skin became smooth. Jesus said, "Tell no one what has happened, but go to the priest and show him you've been healed. And to show that you are purified, make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded. You will become a living testimony to them." Another instance is Matthew 9, verse 28 to 31. That was after healing blind men. "And they followed him right into the house where Jesus was staying. So Jesus asked them, 'Do you believe that I have the power to restore sight to your eyes?' They replied, 'Yes, Lord, we believe.' Then Jesus put his hands over their eyes and said, 'You will have what your faith expects.' And instantly their eyes opened, they could see. Then Jesus warned them sternly, 'Make sure that you tell no one what just happened.' But unable to contain themselves, they went out and spread the news everywhere." Another instance is when Jesus was transfigured on the mount. That's recorded in Matthew 17, verse 1 to 9, NKJV. "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. So here is Jesus telling them not to tell anyone about it, but there's a qualification. They mustn't tell anyone until he is risen from the dead. So now that they have been told about his pending death and resurrection, now he can tell them that their silence is only until the new covenant comes into being, which is when he has died and risen again. In the earlier part of his ministry, he hadn't told them about his pending death and resurrection, because that might have just confused them and they would have been unprepared for the prospect of their Lord and Master going through that kind of ordeal. Whereas towards the end of his ministry, he had been teaching them and preparing them, and they were able to accept the news of his pending death and resurrection, albeit reluctantly. Peter did want to avoid it, but they did accept it in the end. So, once the new covenant is in place, the Holy Spirit has been revealing to God's children little bit by little bit over the ages, over the years. And so our understanding is growing more and more, and we are getting to know Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit better all the time. We learn from other believers. There are books that people write. And while the Bible is the most important book to read and study, there is also time for some of the other books, just as long as your focus, your primary focus, is on the Word of God itself. You can never replace the Word of God with other books written by other people, but some of them can be useful in explaining things and getting to know things and getting to understand things about our loving Heavenly Father. So these are the mysteries referred to in Ephesians 3. And also Colossians 1, verse 26-27, NKJV. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mystery is mentioned again in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6-10. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. In Ephesians 3, 7-8, we see that this mystery is now being proclaimed as the good news. It says, I have been made a messenger of this wonderful news by the gift of grace that works through me. Even though I am the least significant of all his holy believers, this grace gift was imparted when the manifestation of his power came upon me. Grace alone empowers me, so that I can boldly preach this wonderful message to non-Jewish people, sharing with them the unfading, inexhaustible riches of Christ, which are beyond comprehension. But further on in Ephesians 3, verse 13-14, Amplified, says, So I ask you not to lose heart, not to faint or become despondent through fear. at what I am suffering on your behalf. Rather glory in it, for it is an honor to you. For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we not only have an unfolding mystery to proclaim, we do not lose heart, because there's nothing that we need to fear, because even when we do go through tough times, God is still God of love, and he still stands by us through whatever we are facing, and helps us to see it through. A little further down in Ephesians 3:14-19, TPT, says, So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. And a few of those verses, Ephesians 3:17-19 in the NKJV, reads like this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So one version mentions the dimensions and the magnitude, and the other version that we're more used to, that I'm more used to, mentions the width and length and depth and height, because it is, well, basically immeasurable from a human point of view. I often say that our job description is in Matthew 28:18-20, and here it is again in Ephesians 3:5-6, TPT. There has never been a generation that has been given the detailed understanding of this glorious and divine mystery until now. He kept it a secret until this generation. God is revealing it only now to his sacred apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. Here's the secret. The gospel of grace has made you, non-Jewish believers, into co-heirs of his promise through your union with him, and you have now become members of his body, one with the Anointed One. So the gospel of grace is being made known to us believers, whether we are Jewish or non-Jewish, Hebrew or non-Hebrew, and we are co-heirs of Christ because of our union with him. And that is why we are members of his body, and he is the Anointed One. Paul describes his job description, which is similar to ours, in Colossians 1:24-27. I can even celebrate the sorrows I have experienced on your behalf. For as I join with you in your difficulties, it helps you to discover what lacks in your understanding of the sufferings Jesus Christ experienced for his body, the Church. This is the very reason I have been made a minister by the authority of God and a servant to his body, so that in his detailed plan I would fully equip you with the Word of God. There is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations, but now it's being revealed, unfolded and manifested for every holy believer to experience. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ, embedded within us, becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope, filled with the riches of glory for his people, and God wants everyone to know it. So there's your job description. God wants everybody to know about the heavenly treasure chest of hope, which is filled with the riches of glory for his people. So Jesus gave us our job description, as I said, in Matthew 28:18-20, and here in Colossians 1:27, God wants everyone to know about the hope and the riches and glory for the people that he loves so dearly. So with that kind of job description, we do need to shine our lights.